Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the show. Dr. Allen's not with us tonight, but Sue and I are here. We're taking your calls. So you know the number, 323-203-0815. So, Sue Wagner, what's going on?
Okay, we're going to take the... Dr. Allen has asked me and Kelly to fill in for her. She's at a three-day conference in San Antonio, Texas, so she's unavailable to call in and do the radio show tonight. So I'm going to give all the new stuff that we have, Dr. Allen has going on. I know that some people may only be hearing this recording and they're not listening live. We have changed our day to Thursday nights from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and you can always go in and listen to our archived recordings. We have started a live interaction webinar once a month after Dr. Allen's radio show. It's from the next one is Thursday, October 27th, next Thursday. It's from 6:15 to 7:30. It's $10 to register, and you register on our website, www.wantistore.com. We have six people that pre-register and let me know, and they do a hot seat where they get to work with Dr. Allen one-on-one. Anybody that registers and attends can send in questions, and I will read them over the internet for Dr. Allen to answer. And if you're on the internet, you'll be able to get your question answered. And at the end, if we have time, we'll open up the mic to other people attending the webinar to work one-on-one. And we have dates on that. The dates are, October 27th, and then we have November, we have one. November 17th, Thursday, November 17th, and we have one in December, on December 15th. And if you are in the Southern California area, or even if we've had people that have traveled, Dr. Allen offers a monthly life script class reading. I know Dr. Allen has talked about script reading. Do you know, you've listened, Kelly, can you explain a little bit better what the script reading's about?
Yeah, exactly what it is Dr. Allen has a form, and then what you do is, it's sort of self-analyzation by writing, answering the questions on the forum. And on that forum, you really explore who you are as yourself and what your script is. And your script is, you know, a variance of things of how you were raised, you know, whether you had a helicopter parent or, you know, if you were left alone to fend for yourself, everything that happened in your life becomes part of your script and who you are and why you're either having successful relationships or not having successful relationships. So once you've done that self-analyzation, Dr. Allen reads that script and she helps you to understand what's going on in your life, who wrote your script for you, which parts of the script you can edit to be more successful in all areas of relationships, whether it's friendships or romantic relationships, business relationships. It's a really insightful. And it's really insightful to do it, the progression of doing it, and you really start to see yourself. And then once she reads your script, you're really aware of what's going on.
Now, we offer it in the Newport Beach office for six clients, six attendees, once a month. Right now, I think we only have one more opening left in December. And we also have a new schedule for January, February, March, on our website, the wanteyestore.com. Now, I've gotten a lot of calls from people out of the area. We cannot offer a life script reading via the webinar in a group. It goes in, it's a very deep, emotional, private. You go into a lot of stuff that's very personal and private. So we cannot offer that via the internet on Skype in a group. Dr. Allen can do private script readings. They take about an hour. If you want information, you can contact me at the office at info@drpatallen.com, and I'd be happy to help you arrange that. And Dr. Allen also offers private telephone appointments. A lot of people just calling in here for a quick question is not enough for them. So Dr. Allen does offer that service, as well as she has her monthly LA relationship seminar the first Monday of the month, which will be Monday, November 7th. We're at the Courtyard Marriott. That's 6333 Bristol Parkway in Culver City. It's from 7 to 9, and it's $10, no reservation. And then the first Wednesday of every month, which will be Wednesday, November 9th, we're at the Costa Mesa Community Center. That's 1845 Park Avenue. It's in Newport Beach. It's, if anybody's aware, it's off of, it's behind the Triangle Center, and that one is from 7 to 8:30. What she does is she talks about relationships, and then she takes questions and answers from the audience. The webinar that we're offering is the same kind of format as her Monday and Wednesday. Since the people can't come down to LA or Orange County, we're now opening up a webinar for the people out of the area to have the same kind of information. So we're offering that. And besides that, that's what we have going on for the rest of this year and the beginning of 2017. So if anybody's out there and they want to call in, I am a certified Want Institute coach. I have worked with Pat for over 24 years, and I basically work with women and dating. That's my specialty, and communication. And Kelly as well has been with Dr. Allen for probably about 6 years, and she's certified as well, and she takes private clients as well. So if you want information on Kelly, what's your website address, Kelly?
I'm Anchor the Storm on Facebook, and they can reach me directly at 818-399-3687. So, we do that. Sue and I both do coaching for dating, and, you know, we're basically... I don't know how to say it, Sue. Consultants. We're consultants. We really, you know, help people with relationships and all kinds. And Sue's really focuses dating and relating, but mine is also, you know, friendships and business and things of that nature. So yeah. We like it.
Yeah. What I've found, I offer a group up in LA like twice a month. I have a group of ladies I do. When I coach the ladies, I can give them the information, but what I find, and in my own investigation and my material that I check up and learn, is that people, when you're in a relationship or want a relationship, you have to go back and work on issues that you have. Rather than just going out and me giving you the information to get a guy, you actually have to do work on yourself first, because subconsciously you keep doing the same thing over and over. You may hear the information and you may understand it, but when you get out with the guy, a lot of my girls just go blank because they're operating on their subconscious level, what they naturally do. And that's generally what keeps them from getting a good relationship. A lot of times the ladies shut down with the guys they like, and they're afraid to talk. And then the guys don't think they like them, so the guys go away. A lot of times the ladies get too aggressive, and it pushes the guys away. So there's a lot of, when you do work, there's a lot of looking at yourself before you go out and find a man. Would you agree to that, Kelly? How do you do your coaching?
I totally agree with that. I think self-realization and self-actualization is incredibly important when you're forming relationships and learning how to be a mate. I think that sometimes what happens is we have this perception of what it means to be a mate, but we don't really No. Uh-huh. And it's very difficult to sometimes without having somebody hold that mirror up and say, look at what you're doing. Look how you're self-sabotaging. Look how you're sabotaging this relationship.
You can't self-analyze. You can see it in other people, but you can't see it in yourself.
And it's also, too, I notice a tendency sometimes without good repetitive coaching.
Yes.
It's like a diet. When you first start that first few days, you're like, I'm doing so great. And then like day seven, you're like, I'm starving to death. And I, you know, then you're like looking at every candy bar and brownie and, you know, thing and you backslide.
It's like learning.
That.
It's like learning a new language. And
it is.
It's learning a new language. It's called, Pat actually says, first step is you have to be aware. You have to want to change. We can't force anybody to change. They have to want to change and do the work. Being aware of what you're doing and then wanting to correct yourself and change. That's the self-actualization. Then you softwire it, where you start to rewire your brain. Then it becomes a habit, hardwire. Takes exactly. about 2 months. It takes a lot of time and consistency.
And like you said, one of the biggest things is desire.
Yes.
So if there's no desire there, or if it's false desire, because they think that that's what somebody, one of my ladies said to me the other day, well, I'm supposed to be feminine. And I said, well, no, that's not necessarily true. It's a choice. And you don't have to be the feminine energy.
No, you don't.
So she was really struggling with that. And she just happens to be a pretty high-powered executive type. So she has a great deal of masculine energy at work. And she really didn't want to let go of that at home or actually in her, you know, romantic relationship. So I said, well, why are you trying to force yourself into that box? If you don't feel that, then you should go with what you feel.
Uh-huh.
So she had a moment of like, you know, it was that aha moment where she said, well, I guess I always thought that I needed
to be feminine,
to be the feminine energy, but I'm not comfortable with it.
Yes.
And she was like, but I'm not a lesbian. And I said, but you don't have to be a lesbian. You just have to find somebody who has, you know, who is the yin to your yang, the right to your left. They don't have to be a female to have the feminine energy. That's what I'm telling you. You have the masculine energy. You just need a male
who has feminine.
Yeah, who has the feminine energy. And
where the ladies don't like. They don't like the feminine men. But you can't have two leaders in the household. They fight.
It's like if you have two drivers and one car and they both had steering wheels, can you imagine how many car wrecks there'd be out there in the world?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So one of the things is that I think women, and I think men too, I think that both of the sexes don't understand that it's not you just because you have one biological sexuality doesn't mean that you cannot have another energy in your life.
Well, we both are masculine and feminine. We both have traits, Pat says, too. That's
right. But when you're picking a relationship, if you are a feminine energy, you're not going to pick a feminine energy person to be with, because if you do, you know, it's you don't fit together. Like the yin and yang symbol is a perfect example of.
Yeah.
You know,
we both sit there waiting for the other to lead. So you go nowhere.
Like, have you ever had a friend that you were going to go out to lunch or dinner, and then the friend's like, I don't know. What do you want to eat?
I don't know.
What do you want to eat? And, you know, there has to be a leader, and then there's a follower, essentially, or the person that acquiesces.
Now, so, Kelly, I get a lot of my ladies going, well, I want to tell my, you know, I want my point heard. I don't want to be a zero. Tell them it's not being a zero.
It isn't. It isn't. And one of the other things, too, is that if you decide that you're going to step into that feminine energy, you can't just pop out of it in 2 days and go, no, you're going to listen to me. you know, you have to make a decision. You have to stick with it. Otherwise, it's not fair to the other person. It's not fair to you if that person did that to you. It's yeah. not being a zero to acquiesce to somebody. Actually, I'll tell you what my mother used to say to me. It used to infuriate me.
Yeah, you're good with those. No, you're good with
As a teenager, I used to think my mother was probably the dumbest human on the planet. But she told me something one day, and she said, you know, Kelly, the strongest tree is the willow. It bends and it doesn't break. The brittle tree breaks. She said, if you're the willow, you're the strength because you're able to bend and not break. And I didn't understand that until I grew up and I became an adult and I realized that you have to pick your battles and you have to go, you know what? This is not the most important thing. I'm going to wait and I'm going to assert myself on a different issue that really matters. And being the fluid person, it can really make life a lot easier for you when you're not battling at every turn. Who wants to live that way? That's no way to live. So I think that a lot of women get this impression that if they let the man make the date or pick this or pick that, that they're somehow kowtowing under.
Or they're basically subservient and they're just a doormat, or they don't get anything. You know, they're just there.
And Pat says this, and she says it in a different way. It's all in the way you ask.
Yes.
You know, it's in the way you ask. Because if he says to you, what do you want for dinner? He's really asking you, what do you like to have for dinner? It's okay to say what you want. It's okay to say what you don't want for dinner. Yes.
Uh-huh.
But the thing is that, you know, if you say, I don't know, and then he takes you to eat Chinese food, you can't complain.
Yeah.
you didn't make a choice. And that's really the same. And that's a small example, but it's really the same over the entire concept. You know, if you're going to go house hunting with your husband and you don't tell him that you hate a colonial style house and that's what he picks, and you just stand there, you know, we're not saying stand there like a robot and, you know, never discuss anything. Mm-hmm. I think that people get that idea.
Yes, because women are supposed to know what they don't want and men know what they want. So like if you're in a relationship and the guy goes, I want to move to New York, and the woman says, you know, I don't want to move to New York, that's her point of view as well. So she does get her say. She says what she doesn't want, and she doesn't challenge him unless it's illegal, immoral, unethical, or hurts her body. And that's a hard one for the women to comprehend, because sometimes I have women that, you know, they're dating and the guy cancels a date and they want to call the guy and, you know, kind of punish him or make him rearrange it. And then the guy gets turned off and there's a fight, and, you know, because there's two leaders. She wants to redo the date and basically just sit back and accept or reject the man. And if you tolerate it, you get sick. And there's a lot of people that want their partners to do it right, and they want to somehow tell them how to do it that makes them happy. And that's probably the worst thing to do.
Well, and Pat says that too. You don't get to ask for more, better, or different.
Better or different. That's exactly right. And that's, well, he's not calling me enough. Well, then he may not be a person that likes to call on the phone. So that's part of accepting. He may be a once a week telephone guy. If it's not enough for you, you can communicate. We teach you how to communicate your wants and not wants. But, you know, a lot of these women want to try and give the guy a list of what he needs to do. And nobody wants to be told, you know, how to think, feel, act, or be.
No, it's very frustrating. And I've had relationships, even in business, that are that way. And it is very frustrating. But if you don't learn how to communicate effectively, then you're always in a state of frustration.
Yeah. I learned this myself. Sometimes in relationships, you'll have one person that says, I love you a lot. And the other person is unfamiliar with saying, I love you. And the person that wants the I love you gets mad because, well, he never says I love me. He loves me. How do I know? It's uncomfortable. He never tells me I love you. And I say, well, maybe the person doesn't know or it wasn't familiar to speak I love you. They may show it in gifts. And there's that book, The Five Love Languages. I'm one of those. I don't say I love you a lot. And a lot of times guys would say, you don't say you love me. And it's uncomfortable because it wasn't familiar when I was growing up. But I do it in other ways. A lot of women want the men to do it the way that they were raised, when all people are raised differently, different forms of love, showing love.
And often we look for somebody who is, or we're attracted to somebody who is the opposite of us.
Exactly.
And you would take that into consideration. It's funny, though, how when somebody begins to feel safe and cherished, that they're able to say those incredibly meaningful words easier and easier as it goes along. You know, I had a very long relationship with somebody who, when I first was with them, they were not one of those people. They were not a verbally expressive for saying, I love you. But later on down the line, when they became certain and sure of the relationship, it changed. So I think that a lot of people rush in to saying those words. And they're not just words. They're packed with a lot of emotion. Love and hate are two extremely strong emotions. Mm-hmm. So, and those words, they can be really, really tough to say, you know, I mean, they can be. It's just, and you go to yourself, I'm going to drop this matzo ball in the soup. I'm going to see what happens. And so, you know, I've seen one of my ladies about 2 months ago, she's like, I'm going to tell him that. Can I tell him that first?
Yeah.
And I said, you can, but you, you know, it depends on where you're at in your relationship and your negotiations. So she did.
Yeah. That's true.
And he loved it. He was like, I didn't want to scare you. And I was waiting this whole time to see if you would ever tell me how you felt.
That's a hard one. Yeah.
Yeah.
People get scared. Feminine energy is supposed to be vulnerable. Let the guy know your feelings. A lot of masculine women want to hold their feelings in. They don't want to expose themselves. A man can't track a woman unless she is feminine. He wants to take care of her feelings. And when she keeps that stiff upper lip that she can do it the same as him, they get disinterested. Men want to track women who express feminine energy is from your body. Talk feelings, not logic. And that's a hard one for a lot of women.
It's
very hard. They always jump to, I think, well, I'm trying to figure him out. There is no figuring out a man. Just talk on how you feel and he'll get it. You can't figure out why a man does this, why he doesn't do that. It's like they want me to analyze him so that they can work their way to get him. It doesn't work that way.
It really doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
There was did you get Facebook? There's a question from somebody on Facebook. I can read it.
Yeah, I have it here.
Okay.
Well, I've got several. So one says, my masculine energy man is really in debt from school. We want to have kids, but I'm worried having to pay off his school debt and a mortgage will be too much. Should I tell him I don't want to have kids until his school debt is paid off?
I think I would say I'm not comfortable having kids. The language.
I agree. I think she has to, but I do think she can't leave it. I don't think she can drop that bomb without saying, because I'm uncomfortable with the financial situation. I want to make sure that the kids are, you know, that we can, you know, whatever it may be, send them to the right schools or, you know, make sure they're fed or whatever. And having children, I don't know if you're ever, I don't know if anyone's ever really financially ready to have kids, but I appreciate that.
Yeah. How about if she gave him a time limit though? You know, I'm uncomfortable having kids at this time. I'd like to renegotiate it in a year or something like that. Otherwise it could go on forever and ever.
Well, and then her next part of her question, I think, sort of lines out where her mind might be going. And she says, should I help him to pay off his school debt?
I don't think unless they're married.
Well, I agree with that. I think if they're married, then the debt, essentially, while it is still his debt, it kind of becomes your unit. And maybe that debt being paid off moves you forward where you want to be in the relationship, especially depending on the age, you know, because we as women, we do have that biological clock, which is not necessarily an emotional thing. It is actually a physical, biological issue. So, you know, if you're 37 and you don't want to have kids till he pays off the debt, and that's going to be 10 years.
You might wait till you, it might be too late. Yeah, that always says sometimes you have to take a risk. Do your part and hope they do theirs. You can't make them do a certain thing that you want. You could take a risk.
Right.
That's scary for a lot of people. There are no guarantees.
No, there's no guarantees in life at all. And I had mentioned about a young woman who was a dear friend. And she had hid her relationship because of work and this and that and the other. And then they were married finally. And a month after their 1 year anniversary, she passed away. The whole year of their marriage, she was on chemo, and all that time they wasted hiding for 6 years, not letting anyone know they were in a relationship because of work, was what? So sometimes time is a great thief.
Yeah, and you can't get it back.
You can never get it back. So I always encourage people to really think about it. Like, look at your timeline and make a decision on that timeline. Am I prepared for this? So we have another one. Considering that my dad raised me up to do good, to feel good, and now I know that feel good, to do good is healthier for me, how do I react to a man who asks me all the time what I'm up to, what I do?
What I'm up to, you would stroke them. Oh, thanks for asking. And then be feminine. Oh, I went to my lunch with my girlfriends. I had my nails done. I'm going out to lunch with my mom tomorrow. That's how you talk feminine.
And she says, as a follow-up to that portion of the question, is the point to give insight about how I feel about what I do? I don't necessarily think that's the question.
Asked, the question was, what are you up to? That's kind of like, what are you doing, isn't it?
For me, it's sort of like, hey, what's up? What's going on? What you up to? And I might just actually answer the question quite honestly and say, you know, what? I'm sewing, or I'm reading, or, oh, I'm watching a cooking show, or I'm baking cookies.
Yeah, but that's just feminine. You're talking feminine.
Just general, literally
general information. It's not logical.
Yeah. Just literally say what I'm up to. And you know, even if it's working, which we try to avoid that, you know.
Yeah. Try
here's
to stay
what
away
I do
from
for a living.
Yeah.
I would just say, you know, I'm working on a project. That's it. No details. Yeah. No heavy, deep explanation. And, you know, I guess there's a time in a relationship where all of that, you know, gets worked out. But in the beginning, especially in a new relationship, you know, you don't want to be standing there on your soapbox and, you know, rattling your saber and beating your chest. Oh, I'm so good at what I do, blah, blah, blah. I think really you just react with, like, the same way I would expect somebody, like when I call you, Sue, and I say, hey, what's up? What are you doing? What's going on? You know, and you just say, oh, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I think it's just a conversational thing. And I don't think he's necessarily probing for any deep, you know.
No, that's that. If she's thinking he's probing for deep, she's in her logical trying to compete with him.
Yeah, that's another thing.
You don't try to, Oh, she's trying to figure him out and answer the best question that makes her look good. That's competing. That's how men, that's business.
Right. And either we're in business or we're not. So if we're in business, then answer logically. And if it's romance, then definitely answer in your feminine energy, if that's your energy.
Yeah.
So here we have another one. Let's see. An older man in work likes to drink and party with younger women. He plays behind his wife back with other women. I notice that the women he's attracted to are heavy drinkers or women who can't live certain aspects of their lives without alcohol and who are masculine in their attitudes. What do you think of that?
Well, it's really none of our business. He has every right to pick every girl he wants. We're not here to judge or teach or preach.
Right. And we can't.
Everybody
do that.
Has a right to be who they are. We don't have to, Pat, we don't, and here's the hard, we don't have to like what they do, but we don't have to participate in it. They can do that over there and we can stay over here.
Yes.
But we can't make them wrong for being the way they are, either the girls or this man. They have a right to drink. They have a right to party. They have that right. But you don't have to participate.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And we have another one. It says, would you define what being self-centered is, what it looks like, attributes, and also how to develop it?
That one, here's my interpretation, and maybe it's different. Self, what did you say, self-centered?
Yeah, self-centered.
A lot of people think self-centered is selfish, like it's all about you. I always heard from people that self-centered is you take care of yourself first, you're number one, and then you kind of like share or give back to other people. You don't force them to give to you. You just take care of yourself. Is that how, what do you, what's your,
you know, I do. I think that the terminology has gained a very negative connotation,
yeah,
with respect to that particular word. And
yeah,
words are powerful.
Yeah.
So it's a tough word to use when you say, and I much prefer to say, you know, loving yourself first.
Yeah.
Making sure that you are taken care of. It's very difficult to take care of and love anybody else when you don't love yourself. And one of the things I truly believe is if we don't understand how to take care of ourselves and love ourselves, I don't know how we can take care and love somebody else. So with that, I would say that is self-love. Self-centered,
yeah,
like I said, has a negative connotation. You always hear them say, like on TV shows, well, it was a self-centered, egotistical bastard.
Yeah, that's right. That's where it gets the thing. Like, it's all about them and that everybody should give to them.
And so it has a negative connotation.
Yeah.
But I do agree that you have to love yourself in order to love anybody else. And because you have to know how to take care of people's feelings and emotions as well as your own. And, mm-hmm, you know, Pat's right. Feelings are not negotiable.
Yes.
They, however, do change, and sometimes in a moment. So I think that's one of the biggest things that people don't get is it's not necessarily being selfish. When you're self-loving, and you want to call it self-centered.
Yeah.
It's not negative. It's really could be very positive, but again, those words are really, I mean, the way you say them.
Yeah,
it does.
Cause some people, if you don't love yourself and if you don't take care of yourself first, and you try to love somebody else more and then you expect them to give back, you will get disappointed at most times. A lot of people get disappointed because they give so much to that person that they feel, okay, you should be giving back to me, and it doesn't work. So if you're happy and you can take care of all of your emotional needs yourself, you're good. And then if you could share them with somebody else, you're even better, because then you don't require them to give you more, you know, give back too much the love that you may want.
Yes. Yes. Hey, here's
they'll give you what they can. Yeah.
Yeah, they will. They'll give you what they have. And a lot of times that's another thing we were talking about before, Sue, is there's some people only have a certain capacity
to give, and some people want more, and there'll be a bottomless pit. Or this, I was with somebody that said, love me more. How do you love somebody more? I go, what does that look like? Well, I don't know. You just need to love me more. I don't know how to love somebody more than what I'm already doing.
Well, and then where's the measuring stick? Where do you find that measuring stick?
You know, do you want me to say 1,000 times a day, give me what you want? But they can't. They don't ever have a description of it. It's just, it's never enough.
And then what is it? Love me more. And then what is in the parentheses? If you love me more than I love you, love me more than chocolate, love me more than laying on the sunny beach in the Caribbean. I mean, love me more than what? Where's that measure? Where's that measure?
That's part where they don't love themselves, so they require somebody else to give them their love.
And here's the problem with that. What we're talking about there is we're talking about a broken person.
Yeah.
And look, I'm going to tell you honestly, I don't think there's a human on the planet that hasn't had some damage done to them emotionally in some way, shape, or form, whether it was in your formative teenage years or rejected by the high school football captain, or, you know, you're divorced or you were cheated on. I mean, everybody goes through it and everybody's damaged. But
we all have our little wagons we carry behind us.
Yeah, your Louis Vuitton that got packed for you that you carry around the luggage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, where is the benchmark and the measurement? And when do you find that you're with a person that is just their damage and your damage just cannot coalesce together to be a relationship?
Well, that's a hard one, because I get a lot of women that are with men for a long time and they complain about the man. And as Pat says, you accept them the way they are, or you reject them and move on. But if you tolerate and bitch and moan, there's nothing you can do to change that person. That is the way they are.
And then what good does the bitching and moaning do in a relationship? I mean, listen, I've had a lot of relationships. I've had some relationships that I look back on fondly. And I have a couple of relationships that I look back on and I scratch my head like, what the hell happened? But the truth of the matter is that there is that point where you look at a person and you say, no more.
When you're over, it's the empathy. Pat says when you're ready to leave a relationship, you'll leave when you don't even care. You
right,
just feel sorry.
You don't bitch and moan anymore.
Yeah, you don't bitch and moan anymore.
You just don't care. You've lost all empathy. There is no sympathy.
You just feel sorry for that person.
And again, a funny thing, because my grandmothers were my heroes. And my one grandmother, I said to my grandmother, well, I don't understand what happened with these people. My aunt and uncle got divorced. And my grandmother looked at me and she said, first we love, then we pity, then we feel nothing at all. And I was like, oh. So I have all these wonderful adages from her. And again, I didn't really understand that until I had a serious relationship where, you know, you're in love. Everything's beautiful. Like you walk through the like sparkle dust and all this. And then, I don't know, that mask comes off or something happens that puts a tear or a riff, and then you pity. And then finally, you just don't feel anything. And it just doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
So when you get to that point, you know, you're done, you know, but then that's what Pat talks about, getting the lesson.
Mm-hmm.
So is every relationship just a stairway or a step in a staircase to getting the lesson until you reach a certain point where, you know, you have it?
It kind of is. Because from that one, you learn something, what not to do or what to do for the next one. And eventually, you won't, you know, there's no perfect people, but at least maybe somebody that you can cohabitat with and hopefully negotiate a little bit and get along for the sake of a companion.
You know, it's interesting because we have another question here.
Okay.
About narcissists and relationships. This lady says, I began dating a man. He was perfect in the beginning, but now I have to battle for time to use the mirror in the bathroom. He's changed dramatically. He's started dropping weight. He's exercising. He's always in front of that mirror. I mean, he has more bottles of moisturizer than I do.
Well, what's wrong with that, though? He has a right to look good.
Right. She says this abrupt change in his personality and in the way he's treating himself is leading me to believe that he is having an affair.
In my perception, and I'm not a therapist, but if everybody at times wants to better themselves, you know, lose weight, do this, do that, and if he chooses to want to start taking care of himself, obviously maybe something's going good in his life. She should be happy and want to support that.
And then even if the case may be that maybe he's trying to win her back. Maybe something's happened in their relationship.
Maybe it's getting stagnant and they need something, you know, to spark it up. And he wants to get on the health wagon.
And when she's sending me a message, she said, he's almost down to the weight he was when we first got together.
Perfect.
He used to be really active, hiking and all of that, but then that stopped. But now it's started again. And here's how I'm going to say this. What I really think. I think what's happened was is he woke up one morning, maybe he reached a certain age or whatever, and he looked in the mirror and he didn't like what he saw anymore.
Yeah, it's that about him.
Yeah, that he had become too complacent or whatever, and he felt unattractive. So he began doing whatever it was. Here's one of the problems I see when this starts to occur and the woman begins to feel like he's cheating or whatever the case like that is. Sometimes when we put out that energy, we force that into
that
situation.
Yes, exactly. I believe in the law of attraction. What you think about comes about. If you send out energy, he's going to cheat. He's going to cheat. Guess what? That comes to your table.
The other thing is an accusation. Here's how I look at it. If you accuse somebody of something, you better have your evidence in place.
Yes.
And if you don't have any evidence and it's just merely conjecture, you are going to put that person in a position where they're going to say, you think I'm cheating, I'm going to do it. You already think it.
They're already judged unfairly. Yeah.
It's like the old story where the guy says, oh, I'm already late coming home from work. I might as well just go for it and go to the bar with the boys.
You're already in trouble.
And drink because I'm already in trouble. What difference is it? I'm in for a penny, in for a pound. Yeah. That is what happens with people. And it's not necessarily a healthy reaction, but it's an understandable reaction. Yeah. Nobody likes to be accused of something without foundation and evidence. And that probably comes from my background in law. I'm very adamant about that.
There's a way she can communicate. This is what I would suggest. She could go, honey, I have something I want, you know, maybe uncomfortable. I want to talk to you about. Is this a good time? And she could say, you know, you look really stroke him, you know, tell him, you know, I really appreciate that you're taking the time to lose weight and this and that. And then she could say, you know, she could tell her stand, I'm uncomfortable. I have some feelings that, are you not happy with me? And then she could clean, it's called flushing it out and finding out from him rather than attacking him.
Right. I totally agree with that. And I'm even of a mindset where you can just walk in, he's in front of the mirror and just like, you know, I mean, he's your mate. So flirt with your mate. You know, give him a little woof whistle and go, wow, you look awesome. Give him a big smooch or, you know, whatever the case may be, instead of making it a negative thing,
yeah,
where he feels, now he feels guilty. He's like, well, I was trying to be great looking for her again. So she would, I mean, and then also too, how about looking at yourself?
Well, I don't want to judge anybody, but you know, sometimes when people get in relationships, they let themselves go. And men don't like that sometimes. It gets stagnant and boring. And that's a lot of times why people wander. You know, people start to not take care of themselves.
Oh, I totally agree with that. And the other thing I agree with is this. Maybe you've changed toward him and it instigated his desire to go back to the way he looked in the beginning of your relationship. Maybe you've somehow, and maybe not even knowingly, rejected him in some way. And so he's trying to win you back. I don't necessarily think it's a negative thing. Mm-hmm. I think that when somebody improves themselves, it should be supported and encouraged, whether it's taking a course and learning something new, or, you know, learning a skill, or, you know, it can be anything. There's so many things out there that feed the soul. And they're not necessarily this giant beacon that means this person's cheating. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know, even planting a garden or getting involved in a sport or anything like that can be a positive thing. It shouldn't be discouraged. But if you're that, I think if she's that uncomfortable with it, then you're right. She needs to open a line of communication and try to flesh out what's going on.
Or if she has questions, but not in an attacking way. He has a right to want to take care of himself and, you know, lose weight and admire himself, take care of his skin. And if she's uncomfortable, she can just, you know, go in and stroke him, make the stand, and then negotiate the contract, you know, and find out his reasons.
Here's another one. I'm a free spirit and he's a stick in the mud. He was exciting in the beginning, but now all I feel is bored with him. He's boring. He's dull. I want to party. I want to go places. I'm going to travel. He wants to sit in front of the television at night when he gets home from work. I'm bored. What do you think about that, Sue?
It's number one. You pick your people and you accept them the way they are, or they reject them. She could maybe, usually women are the ones in charge of the entertainment type things. She could go, honey, I'd like to go to da-da-da. You know, what do you think about, you know, going on a trip? I'm happy to make the arrangements. I don't think that men always think about planning these trips. And a lot of women get mad because the men don't take the initiative. But maybe if the women go in and say, honey, it would really make me happy if we went a weekend away. What do you think about taking a weekend off? Don't start with a 3-month cruise, but do one little thing. And he may not be a traveler. He may not want to be that. You may be two people that are pretty much incompatible. He likes to stay home and you may like to travel. Both of them are right. He has a right to be a home buddy, but I have to validate she has a right to want to travel. But you can't make either one change.
No, and I guess the truth of the matter is you really have to question why you're together. And the other thing, too, is I'm always curious about the person who decides they're going to get into a relationship with somebody, and then all they want to do is change that person.
Yeah.
Why would you do that? It almost seems like it's a defeatist way to be. Interestingly enough, my young niece came to visit me today, and she was explaining to me that her boyfriend, her fiance, and her, they're really like, you know, they like to stay at home and they play video games together and watch TV. And he's a few years older than she is. And his friends think that she's ruining his party boy spirit because he doesn't want to go out and party all the time now. So they're working diligently to encourage him to not be in this serious relationship. Well, they're engaged to be married, so it's a pretty serious relationship.
Uh-huh.
And she was just voicing to me how frustrating it was because she doesn't want to say to him, you know, basically tell your friends to, you know, go take a long walk off a short pier. And the other side of it is she feels a little persecuted. So I said to her, well, it's interesting that you say that, because he's coming to you and he's telling you what his friends are saying, and yet he's still with you. So obviously whatever they're saying isn't valid to him. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, I never thought about it like that. And Kelly, you're right. He's telling me, he's not keeping it a secret. I said, right. If he was keeping that kind of a thing a secret and you happen to see a message or an email or something where his friends were saying things like that, it would be, I think, a little bit different.
Yeah, that's true.
So, and then, you know, she's said, oh, I gotta, you know, I have to think about this now for a while.
We had no call-ins. I'm disappointed.
I am too.
I think a lot of people aren't aware of our new time. So if you're listening to the recording, this is recorded. We're doing this live on Thursday nights from 5 to 6 p.m. I know a lot of the listeners listen to the archives.
They do. They listen to the archives, and they're great. So, and we have a lot of people from Europe who've been sending messages that they're listening to the recording. So,
okay. Yeah, that's what I mean. A lot of people, it doesn't matter whatever time zone we do it, we never get the right time zone for one. So,
for somebody. So, we're out of time.
I got that. Okay.
So, awesome. We'll be back next week. Everybody, don't forget www.drpatallen.com. Follow us on Facebook, and we'll be with you here next week.
Thank you.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.